Blog Talk Radio.
Surprise here. Welcome. You found Masonic Effects, a place where we chit-chat and try and pick up all of the topics that might run through the course of discussion in your salons and bring them up here. Whether you're with a group that can do that with you or will do that with you, shouldn't exclude you from the larger, broader conversation. This is the place where your opinions help to shape, put voice and definition to character. Be quite honest with you. And masonry is what has brought us together, and we can certainly all be, I think, be grateful for that. Hey, this is we're coming up to the, where I am, coming up to winter solstice, and where you are, maybe coming up to summer solstice. You know, the 21st of December, 2017. Yep, that's winter for us and summer for you. I was speaking with some folks from Australia just the other day, and they were just really, they were visitors here and were really reaching out and enjoying the atmosphere, which for us now we know is a luxury, perhaps a right, perhaps, that not everybody in the world can experience. Are there reformations going on? Well, I would hope that, you know, the kind of battles and conflicts that went on historically have essentially been put to rest in the, because you really come to a standstill. Can't tell if the conflicts are tribal, if they're sectarian, if they're, I can't tell. I just would rely on the people from those areas to help define that. Does anybody, is there any one person that helps define that type of thing? But in this period where we reach out, we know that the areas where you are as Masons are beacons, little flames in the night, you might say, where people can feel and recognize some degree of safety, trepidation at start, until they know you. You are the elements of stability just because of your character, your nature, your outlook on the world, and that doesn't exclude 51% of the population of the were of the earth, women. No, far from it. Far from it. This is the endorsement, the embracement. We belong. We are not possible without the other. Whether you're looking at it with the kind of broad a brush approach of Confucianism that relegated women to less than their equal and, I think, legitimate rank. Would that philosophy float today? Whether it floats or not, it exists. You know, And we're lesser beasts because of it. We're lesser creatures because of that the politics. I wonder if all the other creatures of the earth have the capability of politics. I hope not. I hope not, because it really wraps us into ideologies that often are unfair and unreasonable to you and I. Now, to all of those nations that are caught up in those conflicts and ongoing conflicts, I think my age is allowing me to talk about things without feeling cynical, feeling much more observant. And de verite disputandum est. I'm not capable of rendering truths. I have opinions like you do, and I rely on because simply I've not found anything more reliable or formidable to help me define what it is I'm doing. Talking about opinions as if they're truths. Hmm. And then you notice, if you keep that in mind, as I'm sure you can, as a people who are able to balance opposing opinions in mind at the same time, intelligent people, you will begin to see the struggle that people have when they are treating their opinions as if they are truths. The world is as simple or as nuanced as your abilities. And for some, when you have a hungry belly, food, the nature of the sauce is not as important. But when you have a moment of reflection, contemplation, and you can savor a good meal, whether you're having a tartare or pâté or whatever, some of us are able to sit back and enjoy a comfortable glass of wine with friends, good conversation, wherever we are, around the campfire, when the rain stops, where we look at the sunset, let there be some sense of hope and aspiration. If you're within the hearing range of this program, remember, at times it's a struggle, a great struggle. It's important to recall that you are an audacious creature. Masonic effects, of course, condemns the crimes against humanity that are being committed, and struggles to ensure that, you know, the abominations occurring in war zones stop, that the victims are assisted, and the perpetrators be brought to justice. And that's my wish for today. Where I am, the sun is slowly coming up. It's been wet here, but not overly. We have an interesting program. I do want to share with you, those who are listening in on our programs. I'll let you know when we hit the 100,000 mark, 100,000 listeners mark. I don't expect this. In my mind, yes, I wish that we had millions of listeners, but we're a small group. We're a small group. Face of the earth, you know, we're a small group. What is there, about 7.5 billion? There is still that discussion that goes on from the scientist, I believe it was, a 19th century scientist, that said, you know, the world's getting too crowded. We don't have enough, we can't sustain larger populations. That, you know, when you examine the math of that, it was an error. It was rash, certainly believed it. And my goodness, he convinced a lot of people of the correctness of his assumption. Oh, you know, it's not true. I know. I always want to. After a while, I stopped wanting to fall in. I was a very, very bad sheep. Very, very bad sheep. I couldn't just follow and walk with the flock. And sometimes I know it would be so much easier just to, like you, don't you realize too? Sometimes it would be so much easier if you could just dumb it down. Instead, we embrace this fraternal order, this group that encourages us to become self-aware. It encourages insight. Today, this century, the terminology has evolved, and you'll hear it referred to as mindfulness. People that have an understanding of mindfulness need also to apply it to their lives. Now, you seem to be able to live in harmony with all of these diverse and interesting forms of worship and faiths that go on around us. And I applaud you for that. That's a Masonic quality. To be unclear, to be able to understand in your own mind that there are things that we don't understand, that too is Masonic. Not to have a sense of knowing every answer. Isn't it interesting when you stand back for a moment and observe somebody who feels they are always correct? I've been thinking about the glass prisons that exist in some nations stuck with a dilemma and unable to move forward and unable to move backward. And yet, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen things happen that I never expected. You know, I'd lost, or maybe lost the sense of the struggle, which struggle simply, you know, somebody is that upset. They have so much of an investment. And you can lose track. You know, it's like a period of infatuation in a relationship where you lose track. You lose some form of control, don't you? Well, we're moving on today, as we always have, you being the beacons of correctness. And I think we have some really, I think you're going to enjoy the commentary today. But thanks be to the listeners out there. And I'll just give them in the rank order from the lowest number of proportion of listeners to the highest. Is that all right? The first we have, and I won't give you the figures, it's not that important. I want to welcome and thank our listeners from India and Brazil and Britain and France and Russia and the United States and Canada. Yeah, thank you for tuning in. It's been here's some interesting music, I think, today. With this researching, as I curate the music for you, the international music that just seems to resonate, this is from the Caucasus. And no, I do. I wish I understood and knew more about this. I really do. But you know, where's that? Is it between? Is it between the Black Sea and the Caspian? You know, here I'm a frail and stupid man. I don't understand the geography and architecture of the nations around the world. I sincerely apologize for that, but you can find it. The Caucasus Mountains include the greater in the north and the lesser in the south. But let this speak to it. This is jazz and Caucasian music. And I believe the performer of this, help me with the pronunciation, is Larissa Sedikova. This is astounding. Yeah, it's from 2010. Who knew? Boo.
Thank you.
What I tell you, eh? Just stunning. Who knew? Who knew? Now I can never look at an accordion the same way again. Just so well done, full marks. Yeah. The I wanted to see how she got out of that. The riff, tight band, you know. Those of you who have been around musicians, you know, being tight, that moment, you work for that, or you just get it. Everybody is reading from the same same page. Hey, good time for the commentary, I'd say. And then we're going to morph into a little bit of work, a little bit of the work of Living in the Enlightenment. This is from a book that I would like you to seriously consider wherever you are. I was just noticing it when the musicians on stage here were playing instruments that were created in, you know, other places of the world. Their brands were all over it, like they are for most bands and orchestras these days. It just brings to mind it's not the smallness, it's the familiarity that's occurring. You're living in remarkable times, aren't you? You can listen to some mother using social media to take a picture and describe some event happening in front of her seconds ago. The idea of being able to bend and to propagandize information is changing. The efforts will always be there to try and, you know, have you and I base our opinions on an ideology that is consistent with larger purposes, other purposes, whether malevolent or beneficial, history tells that. But the need creates a circumstance where thoughtful people need to be watchful, because some adages in life and around mankind seem inescapable. The one that comes to mind is that authority will become overbearing unless it is watched. Unless you keep an eye on it, unless you govern any kind of authority, it tends to become overbearing. The fulcrum in that, the balance, is you. You determine what's too much. Now, it's all hail the loss of privacy in order to protect us. Interesting times we live in. We have to constantly examine questions and the meaning of things like secrecy and privacy. all of my records are supposed to be private when I go to my doctor. However, I well know that these systems have been hacked, and the point is, what use could my information be to somebody that is scrambling for power? Who has a right to that? Yeah. And that's my deal. I can shut this all off right now. I can go off the grid, pretty much. I could get away from my credit, go into a cash mentality. Doesn't have as much appeal because of the benefits of being able to communicate. Anyway, let's hear what was coming to mind when I pulled this program together a couple of months ago. Hindsight is such a wonderful asset, for without it, how could we have studied nascent societies and cultures? Without them, where would we have realized our beginnings? We wouldn't have asked the question. What's there? What do we have to learn? But it took much more than remnants left behind to connect us with their genius. The contemplative mind has never slept. In whatever romanticized setting is needed to conjure, Masonry owes a great deal of its firm grounding to ancient philosophers. Too often, the fuller impact of Masonry is obscured. We try to make a better world. However, productive, diligent workers are one aspect of a greater process. In that sense, the values of Masonry are universal. And even that captures a stream of thought for which we are indebted to a great thinker and author, Kang Kui, a Chinese teacher and philosopher who left his mark during a life well lived, born on the 28th of September, 551 BC. We know him by another more common name, Confucius. Confucius taught us that belonging and our role in the family was immensely important. He enjoyed the finer things of life as much as the next man, but he did not think good men should devote their time and energy to the pursuit of personal gain, and he didn't believe in immoderate action anywhere, anytime, by anyone. It was for Confucius a way to answer corruption through transforming society by instilling the values of family in rulers. A ruler had a right heaven granted to rule. However, if a ruler is corrupt, the people have the right to rebel. Respect, honor, and duty. But if that fails, you have the right to overthrow. He shared an egalitarian view with Socrates. His students were not chosen from the privileged social elite. Anyone, even the poorest, could be a moral person, a superior man. This was a commitment to meritocracy. And similarly, Masonic students hold an ideal to become the perfect moral person. We struggle to be human. Absolutely, eh? I mean, it's gripping, eh? This is by the MRT Big Band. Why is that? That's Macedonian radio. And when you think about Macedonia, you know, we're trying to extend that universal music and discover it wherever it is. This is in Macedonia. Macedonian radio. So it seems only proper to have a shout out to the Grand Lodge of Macedonia. This was Macedonia's nose in the former Yugoslavian Republic. But the consecration of that Grand Lodge, coincidentally, took on the 30th of September, took 10 years of work. There hadn't been a presence in Macedonia for nearly 80 years when a group of Macedonians approached the United Grand Lodge of England in 1996 with a request to be made regular Freemasons in lodges in London. They had done the research and realized that both regular and irregular Masonry existed and were determined that the new Masonic presence in their country would be of unimpeachable regularity. I like that. I do. And you can toss that back and forth in your thinking about regular and irregular, but this is a statement, isn't it? Statement of fact. The group was introduced to a number of London lodges, and they decided that the candidates were fit and proper persons, and arrangements were made to have a dispensation to meet in the same day on three occasions in 1997, and the group became Master Masons. Not only were they regular in their attendance at their lodges in London, but they were also given permission to hold a lodge of instruction in Skopje. And a number of English brethren, in particular, Brother John Matthews, regularly visited them and helped them with their work. So the regular, they made commitments of time and money, of course, to do this, regular visits. So in 2001, the brethren petitioned to have a lodge meeting in Skopje, which was agreed. And a team went out from England and consecrated the Skopje Lodge number 9721 on the 1st of October 2001. The lodge worked in English, which became a small problem for many potential good candidates had no English. In 2001, the Unity Lodge number 9749 was consecrated with special permission to work the ritual in Macedonian. And it was followed in 2003 by White Don's Lodge number 9765, also working in Macedonian. By 2005, the three lodges had demonstrated they were capable of running their own affairs, and the decision was taken to form them into a Grand Lodge. And the consecration was one of the largest international Masonic meetings in Europe that year, in which 15 Grand Lodges were represented, 11 by their most worshipful Grand Masters in person, and the remaining four by special representatives. Phenomenal. So make that connection. We just heard big band. Who knew? Again, who knew? You underestimate masonry at your own peril. Masonry is far more than what we could ever imagine. It's transformative. So, you know, was it Albert Einstein that said that once you open your mind to new ideas, it will never return to its same volume again? True, you're something transformative about masonry if you know how to let it happen. The key, the insight that you need, the lost word, that's within you, isn't it? Well, that's another discussion, but I don't know if we want to have that in a form that's open to, like this. But lost word, we should talk. Bring it on. Bring on this question of the chicken or the egg. Which came first? And I think of, as I'm going through some material, it occurs to me, masonry is about the egg being first. It's about that emerging life that in a way is aspiring. It is the struggle. It is the magic. It's a miracle. Miracle that we can have, you know, life being created, and we can understand the science of it, but we just can't quite understand what it is that creates that je ne sais quoi, that we call life, that reality, that consciousness. And we're learning so much more. We learn a great deal from our study of plants and animals, the world around us, our environment. It helps us more so to understand our nature as human beings. Is that done? No. We're only scratching the surface. We're plunging into the thoughts of man. Here, this comes from a remarkable piece of work, and I recommend it very highly to listeners. It's by Margaret C. Jacob, who I believe still has taken up residency in California, and who could blame her? My goodness. This is her book, Living the Enlightenment, Freemasonry and Politics in 18th Century Europe. I've had this around for me for, this was, it was published in Oxford University Press in 1991, but I liberated it from the bookstore in 2008. It's, I have it all marked up and full of little anecdotes that I think make, because it just opens up so many ideas. Who knew? Now, to think, are we of a mind that we believe that all things that influence us came from one city, what came from, or one country? Are we of that mindset, that everything that is us and regular, it comes from a single source? I find that the single source, these grand lodges, and their complementary communication, are reservoirs, are libraries of great ideas that are some new and some are affirming and complementary, that have occurred around the face of the earth at different times. The part that captured me for today's program had to do with, of all places, that cosmopolitan city of Amsterdam. Now, we know, some of us would know, there are things pouring into that port city from the east and traveling through it to the west. And this is one of them. And this has to do with just a little bit of a vignette. The most cosmopolitan places was the west one time in Europe. If you want something real to learn about an indulgence, then check out the history of the tulip. Just check that out. And it'll teach you, I think it'll teach you a great deal about indulgence in mankind. This is like an education, learning about this city. It's like learning about Italy and learning about Venice and learning about. Although in the last quarter of the 19th century, London had replaced it as the banking capital of Europe, 18th century, Amsterdam remained a city, but economically challenged. And it was tied to, the challenges were tied to its base for international commerce, but also by tradition, as well as by circumstance of decline, Amsterdam was not noticeably happy with the Orangist government in The Hague. In 1760, a British merchant wrote home the following account: their greatest grievance was to see their country enslaved by their own countrymen, by the very representatives who were chosen to protect their liberties and privileges. Why, to procure the liberty to send over their just complaint to England, a deputation of the richest merchants in Amsterdam danced attendance for 3 weeks at The Hague before they could be heard. And yet Amsterdam alone pays 58% out of 100% of the whole public revenue. One city. They were so free to assure us that the principal people in Amsterdam formed an association to shake off every connection with the rest of the provinces. And they did not doubt that it would soon come to this. In 1760, the formation of an association to promote Amsterdam's secession from the Republic may have been coffeehouse boasting. By the 1780s, however, there were political associations up and down the country. And their goal was not secession, rather it was a thorough reform of the institutions of government. By the 1790s, throughout Western Europe, voluntary associations had come to provide one of the contexts for revolutionary ardor, a republic ardor that eventually also seized the brothers of Les Bien Amis. We've talked about that lodge prior to this on Masonic effects. Amsterdam is one of the few cities in the Low Countries to have escaped the destruction wrought by modern warfare. This, thus complementing its present-day beauty, is the richness of its archives. There are a few places in the corridor between Amsterdam to Paris where we can find a complete set of monthly lodge meetings that permit us to listen to the same Masonic orators literally month by month as they commented upon the world around them and sought to make sense out of it. To the best of my knowledge, only one lodge in Western Europe, La Bien Amie in Amsterdam, left such a complete record, an inventory of its minutes, correspondence, and orations, month by month from its reconstituting in 1754 into the 1790s, and indeed beyond. Recently, 3 years of records from a lodge in Bordeaux were discovered, and their editor asserts that these are extremely rare. In this chapter, we will be concerned with the proceedings of La Bien Amie from the 1760s to the 1790s, at the time when the Dutch came face to face with the fact of their economic decline and simultaneously sought to transform their system of government. Is there a knock-on effect here with these ideas? Yeah. So we meet its founder, La Bien Amie, Rosette de Missy, and we learned of its disbanding in 1749 after the revolution of 1747. And we followed its reconstruction in 1754. It and the new Grand Lodge of the Netherlands then quarreled bitterly over its legality, and the dispute simmered until 1760. In other words, this was a lodge that historically, at the very least, had its own mind and at the most, might be a haven for the malcontent, the factious, and the rebellious. We know from its records that in the 1780s and 90s, the lodge had more than its fair share of patriots, the name assumed by opponents of the Stadtholder and the ruling oligarchy he was seen to protect. In 1787, the lodge chose as its orator J.A. Cruijnschot, a publisher of radical anti-Orangist pamphlets, who would shortly be forced into exile. Put another way, this was a lodge with a long history of attracting merchants, many of them with international businesses, sea captains, bankers, publishers, surgeons, professors of anatomy and surgery, jurists, musicians, and painters, professional men from Amsterdam and abroad, as well as a few Dutch barons, all of whom had intellectual interests and who tended, as the minutes revealed, to gradually cast a cold eye on the prevailing social and political order in the troubled republic. Nothing about these men, however, suggests that they were marginal. Comfort, if not opulence, pervaded their proceedings. La Bien Amie cannot be imagined as standing for all lodges, but then neither was it aberrant. Many of the themes we encounter in its records were standard to the Enlightenment and, as we saw in the earlier, standard to European Freemasonry. Not least, we have the lodge's visitors' book, which shows the vast international contacts that a lodge in Amsterdam could have. Not every European lodge got to entertain the then unknown Jean-Paul Marat and the soon-to-be infamous Casanova. The Masonic sources of Marat's political rhetoric have been acknowledged elsewhere. The importance of Masonry in the life of Casanova can be demonstrated from his memoirs. We have no evidence from any quarter that what these famous as well as obscure visitors experienced in Amsterdam was different from what they knew and expected in other lodges. However, over the decades, every secretary of La Bien Amie left us a precious, if maddeningly terse, record of how this lodge experienced the late Enlightenment and the revolutions. We must recall that the Low Countries, both the Dutch Republic and Belgium revolted for different reasons and in different ways in the 1780s, before the 1789 upheaval in Paris. In all three countries, the 1790s were turbulent. In all three places, as we saw in previous chapters and we'll see in our discussion of the French lodges in chapters 8 and coming up, the lodges reflected upon the public order, mirrored it, recoiled from it, and in the case of L'Ami, ultimately embraced the revolutionary principles of the French. The Enlightenment in all three places, now understood as a social experience, permitted these reflections within the civil society created by the lodges. So, much, a very enriched environment, as you can tell. Now, our international connections are often that we're dealing with people. If you hear, you're in most lodges where I am, we hear different accents, a variety of accents. First, second, third generation people. The movement, it's reflecting the movement of people around the world. Mass migrations and forced marches are happening around, some of them going far beyond anything we've seen historically in the face of the earth. Millions of people displaced. And that means it's creating opportunity. Yes, it's creating turmoil, and it's a result of turmoil. But in our lodges, we're being influenced. Now, it makes me wonder, too, about the value of the secretary making a notation that is more than terse. This, we opened here, this is how many people were in the room, we closed there. It's not a record for us. It's a record for posterity. And the lodges that grasp that, wherever we are in the world, will be a valuable resource at a time and at a place and by people who we may not recognize or be able to suss out today. It projects us well into the future. Now, are we influenced? Well, what we're finding from this great historian is that it's next to impossible not to be influenced. How could we not? Can we pretend that just because we dig our heels in and say, that's enough, you know, we have enough ideas, we've reached that age, that it actually happens that way? Well, it doesn't. No, of course not. Of course not. That's what I like to think about as selective amnesia. We can just dumb it down when we feel a little bit overwhelmed. We just think it's too complicated. Well, truth be known, the complication in the face of the earth is you and me. Human spirit, just remarkable. This is, I think you're going to like this little ditty. It's from Italy. And a shout out to our brethren in Italy. Hi.
Dire mai non è facile, sai, and all the world around you seems to slip and disappear. Io non so più chi sei, non mi importa chi sei. I'm not for certain I won't bother you with nostalgia, ma vedrai un altro me. Avessi amato mai, cercherai un altro me, oltre l'ombra di un caffè, troverai solo me, se mi fermo un attimo io non so più che night by nine. But all the world around me slips away and disappears. I can't live in your eyes. I can read in your mind. But someone hit me and I fell into your heart, my dear. And you fly over land. Through the clouds, I love your face. You'll be fine, you'll be fine. All your troubles, you are mine. There's a lamb in my heart. You're so far away from me, just makes me so
you, Rafael Goliazo. Nice work. Nice work. This one is work in 2011. It was part of the Eurovision Song Contest. I really like the horn in that. It's just phenomenal. Anyway, we're wrapping up again on the 279th day of the year. We're facing winter coming. Just on the 21st of December, summer coming for our friends in the Southern Hemisphere, lucky people who are facing spring at their door. We'll keep that in mind as we move along. I hope you've enjoyed the program today. As much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. I hope that it's met a need. If nothing else, to remind us about the universality of what we're playing at, the ideas. They're not just ideas that apply to one particular group of people. Ethics and principles have a universality. We're really dancing on the head of the pin around ideas of natural law. The things that keep us in common. I pray and hope that for reconciliation for the conflicts around you, if there are, and that you continue to aspire. Fiat Lux. So we have, I'm going to play us out here with some music from Macedonia. Yeah, we'll have you'll like it. There's no question you'll like this, I think. Let's do this would be from the Grand Lodge of Azerbaijan and phenomenal lodges. You'll like this. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be with you again in a week's time, and be sure to share the source. Invite your friends to listen in. It's always a pleasure. And Adriana Svar is doing some improv here. This is from some material that was put up in C minor, backing it. Oof, check this out. Thanks for listening. nice were women in Malta having these days? Catch you later.